Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. And in the studio, I've got local councillor Marie Harworth. Good morning.
Morning, Aaron. Tamaria Whangaroa.
So it's Mental Health Awareness Week this week. Marie prefers the phrase mind health than mental health. But let's talk about that for a sec. Just tell us what your thinking is there.
Yeah, I think because, you know, I come from the era when we had mental institutions. Like Carrington and, you know, the places where we sent people. And so the word mental health to me doesn't really resonate any kind of sense of health. So I like mind health because I like to think about our mind and how what's going on in there, how healthy it is. And so I like to think of the word more in relation to mind health than mental health. I don't think it puts a good connotation on looking at our health.
It's a bit loaded, isn't it?
It is a bit loaded. So, yeah, that's why I tend to stay away from it because I think it can be a distraction for people to hear that word. And then not want to go there because they feel like there's something wrong with them because it's mental health, like there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And actually our mind health is something we want to look at and be encouraged by and want to check in with.
I think it just, in my head, it kind of sits alongside physical health, mind health, like, take care of it.
Yeah, well, it's checking in. It's just, a healthier word, Aaron, than for some of us, the word mental. I don't think that's a very engaging word to work with.
It was an insult on the playground at school, as
and
I recall.
It, wasn't it? Yeah, it was, really. And I think that, you know, like I say, I come from that era, so there's many of my age group that might not look at their mind health just because they get stuck on the word of mental health.
You know? Yeah, and it is, in our society, like society, visiting a counsellor has become more kind of acceptable. I don't want to use the word acceptable. People have become more comfortable with it. Yeah. As the generations have gone on, so my parents' generation, I'm sure, especially the men, a lot less of them have gone to visit counsellors.
Yeah.
My generation, a few more. Hopefully the younger ones, a few more again.
It's a lot more now that we have so many jobs on the line, and a lot of that is white collar, so to speak.
In these current days.
And I think that that group of people probably find what's happening in the job market far more difficult than the ones who have had to deal with it all their lives, with losing jobs and having to find another one.
Well, we have, I mean, it comes and goes. We've had plenty of periods where the job market's collapsed under people and then it's come back. So
there's a lot of jobs that have been more the top end of the jobs.
Yeah, well, the government's fired tens of thousands of their bureaucrats. So
For me, that suggests I'd be very cautious because to me that's a group of people that aren't used to stresses in the same response as those who have been living on the edge for a very long time have learnt how to deal with those difficulties in life of losing jobs, losing homes, losing income.
It's quite a big loss of status as well, and we kind of try to avoid status or we poo-poo it, but it's a real issue because it's how people perceive you.
Oh, it's a real issue, all right.
And I think it's terrible that status runs through our society so strongly and people are judged by it, but people are judged on their status, and if you have a sudden drop in status, that is not good for your mind health.
We've lost people.
Because of suicide, because of loss of wealth or status.
Well, not even a loss of status, Aaron. It's more that their perception of the loss of status when they lose perhaps the work that they were used to getting in and not at the same money level that they were at. Everything has to change in life when those things happen and you're not used to it. You're not used to the stresses of having to really budget or even lose something that's very dear to you, maybe a home.
Or
the rental that you've loved living in, you know, and you can't afford anymore.
The good news is the government probably fired too many people and they'll have to hire some back as consultants on higher wages. So I guarantee you that will happen. I bet that will happen.
For the few, because there's still a whole bunch of other ones out there that are probably struggling.
What seems to happen is when a right-wing government's in, they fire too many in anticipation that when a left-wing, so-called, when Labour comes back in, they'll hire too many. And then Labour hires too many in the anticipation that National will fire too many. So I think the numbers...
And here we are in Mind Health
Yeah, week. It's a mess, isn't it? Because the blooming politicians. Again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you wanted to use the Whairaetape Farm model. Yes. This is a wellbeing model developed by Māori health advocate Sir Mason Jury in 1984, describing health and wellbeing as a wharenui. So,
Yeah, I thought I'd like to talk a little bit into why I like this model so much. Mason Jury did a fantastic job of putting this together, and I'm not sure that we probably use it as much as we should. I know it's all around the schools. I've seen it on the walls, and but I don't think we've probably unpacked it as much as we could. I think this is a New Zealand model, so it really fits us really well. And as a counsellor, often we use American models.
Right.
So that's why I come alongside this so well, because it just screams New Zealand. It screams us, you know. The Te Wharaetape Whā model is in a... You can bring it up on Google. It's a picture of a wharenui or whare. And it's representing the four walls of our whare, of our home. And that means like our body, who we are. So it's a metaphor, really, to give us an indicator on how to look at our mind health without feeling overwhelmed in the moment, thinking we're really unwell and there's something wrong with me. So if we can break it down a little bit, we can have a look at the different areas that might cause disruption, or maybe look at what we need to work on to make ourselves stronger.
And I think we've talked about this model before, and one of the things I remember you talking about was, like, you might have great emotional well-being, which is one of the walls, but you think everything's great, but you'll have another wall that where you... Let's say you score quite low on. It was one way of describing it, and so your house is not a proper house. It's not a. It's not an effective house unless all the walls are functional. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you think of a home, so we're going to start at the whenua.
I'll just say what they are. I think first.
Here you go.
Yeah. So we know what they all are. So taha wairua. So that's a spiritual well-being wall. Taha hiningaro, which is a mental and emotional well-being wall. Taha tinana, which is the physical well-being wall, and taha whānau, which is obviously your family and social well-being. So those are the four walls, and then there's whenua, the land, that forms the foundation. I think this was added in a bit later, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, and it was obviously missing because it's such an important part
yeah,
to
yeah.
start.
You want to start with that one?
Yeah, I want to start with this one because I think our foundations are probably the most important place of standing. If we know our foundations, we've got something to go back to. And I just want to talk into a little bit about foundations. If you think of a house, you know, when we're building our home, the foundations are not something that we bring our friends around to show, you know, how beautiful they are or how great they are or how strong they are. They're just something that we tend to know that has to be there and they have to be good, but we don't feel excited about them, and yet they are the foundation of how our whare is going to sit. If the foundations are good, then we've got a good solid ground.
Well, yeah, and you know the foundations aren't good, the whare will be...
compromised.
Compromised.
Totally compromised. As the walls become compromised, as you'll find out as we go through. But so whenua, your land and your roots, where do you come from? So this is your place of standing, your tūranga waiwai. And for many that can be the marae, you know, your place of standing there, you know, it's where your whenua are, what you relate to and go back to and find comfort from and peace. So for many of us in the Māori culture, I think that's wonderful that they have such a strong tūranga waiwai, understanding of where they come from. But for lots of us who don't have a cultural history, so to speak, or haven't been told about our cultural history through our families, we don't know where we come from. We just know we're mum and dad, or we were born in, say, Tauranga, and you know, my family come from the North Island. You know, it can be very kind of, don't really know. So for me, you know, I look back in my history, I have Scottish and Irish and French and a bit of gypsy in there, and Yeah, so my place of standing, I could relate very much to the Scottish culture, and I've talked about that before, the music and just that whole feeling. And I grew up around, you know, and my dad was a piper and my brother, and I did did the drumming in the pipe band. And so that cultural kind of feeling of the Scottish heritage felt very strong in me, and I did feel a sense of belonging. But there's another, you know, when we think of our whenua and our place of standing, often we don't know where we come from and we relate to where we were born. And we can move around a lot in our lifetimes. And so we can feel really like, I don't know where I belong because I've moved like lots and I have no real place of standing.
Yeah.
And I did feel a bit like that until I came to Raglan, and I've been here over 20 years now, probably 25 years, and I would definitely call this my place of standing. This is so I wouldn't consider my Scottish heritage as my place of standing, although I feel a lot of strength from it.
Yeah,
I really feel that this is my Tūranga Waewae because I've spent so much time here now. And I've put some roots down, and I know people, and I feel like this is community and my home. And so your place of standing can be where also the place that you resonate with. You know, where do you feel that you belong?
And that's a lot of people feel that about this community. They come here and they're like, they really feel like they resonate with this place.
Yeah, and there is a real truth with that, which kind of makes me think about what other communities might be experiencing with people, and are they feeling like this is a place that they would want to stay and put their roots down?
I mean, we're clearly a bit different to the mainstream, I guess, and I'm not the point of that is just to say that our identity is kind of clearer than a lot of other small towns, I think, because of that. It's a bit more obvious and you get it right away. And you know whether this is your place or not, quite quickly, I think, because of that. But I just want to read also the information off the mental health website. Talks about what you're saying about place of belonging. That means the spaces where you feel comfortable, safe, and able to be yourself. It could be around your friends, at home with whānau, as part of a sports team, or even at your place of study or work.
Yeah. So those are, if you can't find your place, if you can't find a place of belonging, looking at social clubs, groups, communities, just like what you read out, you know, like where do you feel safe? Where do you feel like this is my place and I belong here? Yeah. And it is so important because just like those foundations that we don't look at in a home, if we don't look at where we find that we can put our roots down and say, I belong here, this is my place of standing, this is who I am, this is what resonates with me, we kind of don't feel like we belong anywhere. And that can be quite a lonely feeling, like, who am I? Where do I belong? Where's my place?
Yeah.
You know? And when you hear other people talk about them knowing their place of belonging, you can feel like, well, I don't have that.
Yeah.
Who am I? And so to look at our mind health, it's very, it's extremely healthy for us to know where we come, what's your place of standing? Find your place that you've put your roots down. If you can't find them in your living situation right now, then perhaps look at your family history. Where do you come from? Where did your whānau start? And do you resonate with that?
My family moved around a lot when I was a kid. And not till I came to Raglan did I actually feel like I'd settled anywhere. But both my parents grew up in Nelson, and they have family down there. And that was the one constant in my childhood growing up is going back and visiting there. And I was like going to visit my uncles and aunts and things like that,
yeah,
and grandparents. So for a long time that was the place. But I've been here now 25 years too, approximately. So, and I've had children born here, which I think,
exactly,
I feel like that makes a difference.
It does, doesn't it?
I guess.
And it does because we can say, hey, I'm from Raglan, you know, I'm a Raglanite.
Yeah, and everyone, people born know. Yeah, people know. Yeah, they do.
And it is a wonderful feeling to be able to say that. I can't say that. I was born in Tauranga, Katikat. And if people ask me where I come from, I say, oh, I was born in Tauranga. That's what I say. And often we will say where we were born, but do we resonate with that place? I do resonate with Tauranga. I love it. It feels like home, but it's not. My Tauranga Waewae is here now. So after all this time, yeah, I found a place to call home.
Do you want to go on to the next one?
I do.
Okay, this is Taha Hiningaro, which is, and I'll quickly read the blurb. Just like your physical health, your Taha Hiningaro, or mental and emotional well-being, needs to be taken care of. This is your mind, heart, conscience, thoughts and feelings, about how you feel as well as how you communicate and think.
So Hinaro, that's our mind. So this is about checking in with your thoughts and... You know, often we don't. We let our thoughts run away. We don't check in with them. We don't rein them in. We let them have free rein. It's not until we consciously make the effort to check in with ourselves to hear what's going on inside our head towards ourselves or others. Is our language very negative? Are we always putting people down? Are we always seeing the negative in things? You know. We have to check in with our thought life, and if that's the case, then it's up to us to rein that in and change it, because our mind health will deteriorate if our thinking life is, well, stinking thinking, Aaron.
Yeah. You know? We were talking about something similar about this on Monday, which is about do we have control over our emotions, or can we might not in the moment, but we have the power to kind of direct them over the longer term than just like the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, so there's different ways of looking at this. There's a person who has experienced trauma, and so their emotional regulation might not be so good in the moment.
Yeah, this was our caveat that there are different levels of...
There is.
Sometimes you can just say, oh, I'm not going to think about that anymore and walk away from it. And then down at the other end is the deep-seated trauma.
Yeah, where you get reactive really quickly.
And a lot of work is required.
Yeah, and I think that's a difficult place for people. This is where mind health can really be affected, because how we're perceived by other people and put in boxes because of the way that some respond in different situations, and therefore we get, you know, people get labelled as being reactive or, you know, but often people don't take the responsibility of what they're actually saying to a person and how that person is reacting to them about what they're saying. You know, we want to give our opinions, but we don't often think about how that might affect the other person.
Oh, so taking responsibility for what we say
to
people.
What comes out our mouth, and also what is going in our mind, how we're receiving that and how we're translating that now, and is it very negative? If you've got a very negative thought life, you know, sometimes we don't realise how bad it is until we check in with it, Aaron. You know, we just don't. It's like a runaway train. It just keeps going.
Yeah, well, I have the feeling some people think that that's normal.
No, it's not, and not healthy either.
Like it's the only way that they've been, perhaps.
To learn another way is, you know, mind health is about looking about how we can do things that are more healthier for us, that are not going to cause us the stress that we're feeling. If our thinking life is very negative, first you've got to tune in and figure that one out. You know, is it? How's that going for you? Because your whole way of being will, you know, your thinking life is an expression of how we do life. If we're a negative person and we're seeing negativity in everything, then I can guarantee you our thinking life's pretty negative.
You'll also attract other similarly negative people around you, which will
and that
will confirm to you that the world is a negative place and everything's negative, and your friends will agree with you.
Yeah, well, in here it's got, you know, conscience, and I wonder where that goes sometimes when we can think so negatively. Where's our conscience towards other people or even ourselves? To be kind and gentle to self, to not, you know, we can be our worst critic, Aaron. You know, somebody could say, oh, I didn't think you did that very well, and then we will translate that into a whole lot of different other things.
Into I'm completely useless or something like that, yeah.
And so, you know, bits of poison in our thinking life can infiltrate every area of our life if we let it get away with it on itself. We have to have the ability to pull our thought life in, and that takes some being present in yourself and being honest, you know, hearing the swear words that are going on in there, acknowledging them.
Being honest with yourself is actually pretty important.
It is, because if we truly tap into our thinking, then we might be quite surprised, oh my gosh, is that really healthy for me? You know, is that really doing me any good, any justice, or anybody else any justice? So, you know, negativity can creep in. It's quite obvious, I think, when we're talking to people, if they have a negative way of thinking, because everything they kind of comes out their mouth is negative. It's nothing much, not all life going on, not a lot of hope there. You know, they'll say, everything's going downhill, the government, work, everything, family, relationships. And yes, they may be correct, all those things are in danger, but, you know, it's not 100% danger. We've still got some hope there.
Well, no, you're exclusively looking at negative things, and there are many positive things out there. You could just as equally exclusively look. We're doing Thursday, Shona?
Thursday?
Yes.
Is
that all right? Yeah, sorry, we're just having to negotiate. Thanks, Shona.
We had a visitor.
It was a thing about who was being interviewed on what day. I thought Thursday.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah.
Well, we're in our thoughts right now.
I'm hoping that when I go back and check the emails, I haven't said Wednesday by accident and it's my fault. I really hate it when I do that. I try not to do that. But we were
talking about our thought life, and it says here it's about how you feel as well as how you communicate and think. So
we're talking about being honest with ourselves.
Our thought life and selecting. Our feelings.
That's what I was saying. Like, for people who are exclusively negative, you can, for argument's sake, be exclusively positive.
Yes.
And people would say, well, that's not realistic. And I'm saying, well, what's realistic about being exclusively negative? That's not an accurate representation of the world either. What we're talking about here is not getting an accurate representation of the world or the news. We're talking about a mind health.
Yeah.
And if you've got too much negativity, then you do need to try to change that. Just simply because it's good for you. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, the body has needs just like any other living organism. We have needs, and it needs to be fed. And what we feed it is will translate out in our lives what that looks like, what we are feeding ourselves. So if we are very negative people, it will look like we have a dark cloud over us all the time. And it's really, and if you were to follow somebody through like that, Aaron, you know, like if we used it like a subject that we were studying, and we watch that person all through their life, you might see all the health issues and all the things that go wrong when we veer towards negativity all the time.
I saw this video online once, and there was the person on stage talking, and then people were coming up and asking them questions, and this guy came up and he was like, the world really is a terrible place. He says, I know, I've been to all the places where the terrible things are happening. And I'm like, hold on, you selected the specifically bad places and went to all of them in order to reinforce your point of view. You could equally have chosen somewhere 100 miles to the left or eastward on the map. That's westward, sorry. Anyway, you could have chosen a place, you know, that somewhere else and found good things.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I feel like this is a revelation I've been having over the last few years. It's just how many things there are in our culture that direct us to negativity, like the news. And you hear people saying, oh, it's a terrible world we live in. No, it's not.
No, it's not. There's like, it's amazing.
There are terrible things happening, but they are isolated.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, at any given moment. Yep. Ring everyone, send a message to everyone on your phone right now and say, anything bad happening at your place right now, this instant? And pretty much all of them will say no.
No.
They'll also say, what's going on? Are you all right? Yep. But, you know.
Are you okay? I'm fine. I'm just checking you out.
Just conducting a survey.
But you're right. I mean, we will create what we think.
That'll become the world we live in, won't it?
It will. If you think the world is a bad place, the world will be a bad place, because everything you hear and see around you will be an indicator of that. If you feel that the world has hope in it, you will start to see a bit of hope there too. If you hear some stories and be involved in other parts of life that you might not have normally been involved in.
Yeah, and this is where I always want to bring this up. There's the part of the brain, is it the reticular activation system? Is that the name of it?
I don't know.
I haven't explained what it is yet. It's a filter in our brain. So we get way more data in from our senses than our brain can handle. And our brain filters out 98% of it. And the 2% it focuses on is the stuff that it thinks we want to know about. And if we're always talking about negative stuff, it'll go, okay, you want negative stuff. I'm going to show you all the negative stuff, so make sure you don't miss out on it.
So this is algorithms in the brain.
It's an algorithm in the brain. It really is.
It really is.
Yeah.
And we've been told this. I know this.
So you can't see the good stuff.
No.
You can't even see it. It can walk past you. Something good will walk right past you. You won't even notice it. Yeah. And your eyes will settle up the road at the negative thing that you managed to find.
I agree. And
I don't know if that's the name of it, the phrase I used before, though. I can't remember.
But algorithms in the brain. Yeah, we do need to be careful what we are feeding it, what we're putting into it, what we are allowing it to go to, because we are the master of this body, even though we allow it to master us many times.
Yeah.
The mind is a massive computer, and it will grow off what we feed it. You're right. And the more that we can understand this, it would be so much healthier if we could move away from all the negativity and hear some of it. You know, if we honestly, Aaron, if we heard positivity over our world, everything would change massively.
Mm.
The negativity would become less and the positive would become more. But we don't seem to want to do that, because this is about power and control, and we need to dominate and own. And so we're always trying to grab what somebody else has and make it our own.
Yeah, and we're also told, I talk about the news. I talk about it this way, do you know there's a group of people out there who are going around gathering all the worst possible information, and they bring it together and they want to show it to you, and then they shame you if you don't want to know about it and say you're ignorant and you're sticking your head in the sand.
Mm.
Right? I'd talk about it like that, but it's that thing of we feel like we have to know. It's important to know. It's given so much importance in our culture, and I think we've got it out of proportion. I'm not saying the news and knowing about the negative stuff in the world isn't something that we might want to do, but just that it's become way more important than it should be.
Yeah, don't be afraid to veer away from it. I think this comes through generations.
Have some time off.
This comes from the 6 o'clock news with our parents when we were
kids.
That's
what we were brought up with, yeah.
Yeah, same. Everyone shut down at 6 o'clock and we had to be quiet, listen to the news. You know, I mean, that was the biggest thing. And if you look back to wartime, Aaron, everyone closed down and got around the radio at news time. This has always been something that's been poured into us. Very important that we listen to what's being said out there. And I think this does come from First World, Second World, World War, and the need to hear information.
Yeah, but also now the news services promote themselves in that way as well.
And we've grown with the stuff, the news you need,
the phrases like that, you need it.
And there's lots of news. I mean, it interests me that after the news they put on a good news segment now. I noticed, where somebody's doing something wonderful.
That's probably really good for everybody's mind health to wrap up, even if you're going to go through all that rubbish.
Exactly.
At least there's something positive.
Interesting that they're doing that, though, because I think they're recognising you can't just keep pouring in this negativity without showing some positivity.
There's also there is research that shows that people who consume a lot of news, it gives a sense of helplessness.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, of course it does.
Because it's also talking about things that you can't change. I mean, you know.
There we go. And these are good indicators. You can't change it. You're right. And I know somebody who can pick out all the negativity around, and I'm often going, you can't change that. Why do you keep going there and wanting to discuss that when really you can only deal with what's in front of you and you have the power to do something about? Mm. So for Raglan, recycling, amazing. Look at the power we have there that we could do something and went ahead and did it. it's positivity.
There's a bit more in the capacity of the people involved to actually achieve that.
Absolutely, and coming together.
Yeah, so we're talking about Te Whare Tape Whā, Mason Jury's Māori health model, and we're talking about the four walls. We talked about the whenua, the land, and we're going through the four walls. The next one is Taha Tinana, which is about how your body feels and how you care for it.
Mm.
Refueling your body helps you to feel mentally well.
Mm. So
nurturing your body. Yeah.
Yeah, nurturing. So being kind and gentle to self. What do I need to do for me? So often we think about what we need to do for others, especially if we're young parents. we've always got our children around us and people grappling for our attention. So this is about what are you doing to keep your body healthy. This is about what you're feeding it and how you are maintaining it. So we looked at our mind health, but this is about your body health.
But the implication of this is that our body health affects our mind health.
Well, it's all connected. We can't separate any of this off.
It's all connected, baby.
It is.
Yeah.
We can't. It's like taking the arm off and going, well, I'm just going to separate this off here and have a look at this only, and we'll put this over here because you don't have a need for it right now.
Yeah.
We can't, and we've got to grapple with that too. This is all interlocks. There is no separating off. If you aren't eating well, it's going to affect your mind.
Actually, this is to the point where we know that the chemicals that operate our brain, some of them are produced in the stomach.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the guts, not in the stomach.
Gut health.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Everything. I mean, how many times have we heard that? Everything starts in the gut. And it's true.
Mm.
If you were to be so in tune with yourself, you would find that you would get a real grabbing in the stomach when something's not right. You get this like ooh, impending feeling in your gut.
Well, sometimes your stomach will make sure you know by making you feel sick.
Yeah. I mean, it has to go to that extent. That's how out of tune we are with it, because I'm sure there is a small indicator well before that one, but we're not in tune with it anymore.
Yeah, we just ignored it.
Yeah, we've ignored it. So everything starts in the gut health. And, I mean, we have to look at our societal norms here and how we've been feeding our people for the last decade, really, or more. The fast foods that have come in.
How about this phrase? The social media of food.
Yeah. How normal we have made sugar in everything, and the toxins that are in food, manufactured foods. Right, so we can put our head in the sand and pretend none of this exists and just think that everyone is after our health and that they would only feed us good stuff.
I don't know if anyone thinks that. I think we're all pretty aware.
We can open our eyes up and go, okay, there is stuff in this food that I need to know about, because is it healthy for me? Or do I need to bring back my diet to a more plain diet and start again? What do I actually want to feed my body that is good? So, fast foods, we're lucky out here. We really are. We don't have the fast foods happening in Raglan. I'm so wrapped. But if I was living in Hamilton, how many times would I have just gone, oh, I'm just going to grab some McDonald's, or I'm going to go for KFC? Just a real quick meal somewhere. It's so easy to do.
We can still get a quick meal out here.
Yeah, you can. But and I don't know, how processed that food is. To me, I'm looking at what I'm buying. Sometimes I don't care because I've done a good job for a long time, and I don't care in this moment if I have something that's not good.
Yeah.
But if you're doing that all the time to your body, you're putting in stuff that it's struggling with to digest, to get any nutrients from. It's typical. It's going to break down, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. It's not the thing.
Yeah. So this is about and not only that, your physical well-being too. Like, are you getting out walking? Are you exercising? Are you doing things that are moving your body? Dance, anything that will movement and some resistance and activity, you know, because it gets the oxygen going around now.
There's blood. So much. There's been research for decades about the benefits of just getting out walking of all else, starting for our heart health back in the, I don't know, was that the 70s or 80s? I'm not sure even. But all parts of our body now, they know. And I'm paraphrasing something I read vaguely, so this is a very non-expert thing, but I just keep seeing it, that just physical movement, because that's what we're designed for.
We are so designed. I can't encourage that enough. You know, some people get put off by the thought of exercise, so maybe you are more in tune with dance and or creative movement. You know, often I've said to my clients, which some people might find a bit weird, but, you know, on your own, if you, like, some people are embarrassed to move their body in front of anybody else, you know, and so get on your own, get a ribbon, a colour that you really like, and just start throwing the ribbon around and moving with it, you know, which can feel kind of awkward and weird for some people, but the freedom that comes from that is quite amazing. You feel amazing afterwards. No, it's not something I do.
But, just so you know, folks.
Just so you know. Don't go home with a ribbon. But
just saying. But but you are suggesting other people could.
Absolutely. Well, I used to do it when I was a kid. It was very freeing. And they called it creative dancing back then, using ribbons. Mm. But I encourage people to do that in the privacy of their own home if they feel embarrassed to do movement.
Or there's lots of yoga classes in Raglan as well.
Oh, there's lots of dance classes, and if you don't mind being around people, but not some of us who are dealing with these more tender issues, we know we're not public people, or they don't want to get out there and they don't know how to do it for themselves. And they don't give themselves permission to do it for themselves, Aaron.
Well, maybe they can look on YouTube and find a video that can, if someone freedom. Can lead look, them or something.
Well, you just put the radio on, grab a ribbon and start moving.
Yeah, the music will help.
Look, you've got to move with music.
Yeah.
It'll bring joy too. So there's lots more happening in the movement and what you're receiving than just the movement of the body. There'll be the giggles and the laughs and the freedom and not taking yourself so seriously, and there's a lot of fun in that.
So let's move on to the third wall, Taha Whānau, obviously family. And this is talking about extended relationships to not just immediate relatives, your colleagues, your friends, your community. We are reasonably well sorted for a sense of community here in Whangaroa, but I know not everyone feels like that. But at least it's a place with a strong identity.
Yeah, I totally agree. So this one, Taha Whānau, for some, you know, don't have family. They might be put off by this wall and think, well, what is that about? But it doesn't have to mean, like you say, it doesn't have to mean family. It could mean friends. It could mean a group that you associate really well with. Anywhere that you feel a sense of belonging. So friends, it pretty much speaks for itself, immediate relatives. So this is about getting family around you. And so you're not doing life alone. You don't feel alone because you're not alone. And some people might be thinking, well, actually I am alone. But are you? Because you got to check in who's in your life, and maybe you could make stronger connections with those people, even if it's a carer in your life, you know. That person can give you a sense of whānau because they are caring for you.
Age concern has given us a notice.
Great, here we go.
They have a social connection service, so for an hour a week someone will come round. So if you're an elderly person, and they've got people available to work out here.
That's brilliant.
So if you are in that situation or you know someone in that situation, then age concern, I'll give the number 07-838-2266, but just age concern, Waikato.
Yeah, please use it, because we all need people in our lives that help us feel connected or restored.
It's actually, this is a real situation with our society, the way it is that our kids are encouraged to head off to university or tech, or traveling the world's cool. But all this stuff that you've got to head out, you've got to head away from home. And I think heading away from home for adventures, I think that's a good thing to do. But we seem to encourage this separation. We've got to go, and then you end up
being lost and not knowing your tūranga waiwai. You're kind of like, where am I?
Yeah, you end up trying to raise kids without a lot of support.
Mm.
And in the meantime, the grandparents are lonely somewhere else.
Yes, missing their grandchildren, wanting them close.
yeah. So,
and circumstance doesn't allow it. And yeah, so our mind health can drop very quickly when we
prioritise careers.
Yes.
It's everyone's choice to do that, but I think there's too much pressure to do that.
And then we lose that sense of connection with family because we don't have the time. So it's healthy for us to make the time and connection to whānau, whatever that looks like for you.
Yeah.
You know, for some people it's their animals. You know, they might have a small little lifestyle block and they've got cows and a pig.
It's true, animals can provide, animals do provide stuff. That's why we all have pets and things. Yeah.
I've felt a sense of family around my animals, especially when we lived out Ruapoki and we had a few more. You know, you'd get up and they greet you. You know, there's relationship there, and that's what this is all about.
And they never have any baggage. They're never like, oh, you weren't nice to me yesterday. Yeah, I'm going to freeze you.
I'm going to talk to you today.
Well, the cat might freeze you out a bit, but the dog won't.
As soon as it's dinner time, they are your friends.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So you're not going to miss out with the animals. But it brings that sense of belonging and you know.
We should acknowledge that for some people, their family has been a bad place.
Yes, that's why we say it doesn't always mean your relatives or your brothers and sisters or your mum and dad. These could be the people that have been you've grown up with, friends in your life. It could be a grandparent. It could be a niece, nephew. It could be a cousin. It just people in your community that you're close to, you know, that help you feel like you belong.
This is a very real need, and this is why people form gangs.
It is, and I mean, I know that. You've
seen the inside. Yeah, and I mean, you've got to say good on people for finding a solution to that problem. The illegal activity is a different story.
Mm.
That's not a good on you, but that is human beings finding a solution.
Well, marais do that, give us a sense of belonging, call people home, call people back to the tūranga waiwai, call back people back to whānau. Back to the whenua.
We miss that in the Pākehā world.
Well, this is it. But this is where I think the treaty, we can align with the treaty. This is where we come together because you're right, we have missed out a lot. And the Māori culture can offer us so much when it comes to nourishment and whānau and a sense of belonging that many of us don't feel because we've come from convict pasts. You know, we've come over here on the convict boat.
No, mine didn't. Mine got away.
Mine didn't either. So we're pretty upper class.
Yeah, we're our higher class of criminal, the ones that got away.
Yeah.
Honestly,
somebody stole a piece of bread in England and got thrown over to New Zealand.
Both sides of my family were people who came to New Zealand under suspicious circumstances.
There we go. Most of us are pretty suspicious. So that's why we need this.
And apparently that was a problem.
Belonging.
And when you look into it, apparently that was a bit of a problem. That's why, from what I learned from the Treaty of Waitangi course that I did last year, one of the things that Māori were concerned about is that a lot of the Pākehā come in here because they were like sailors and whalers and famous for misbehaving.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were looking at a way to deal with that.
Yeah.
So we do have fairly dodgy pasts.
Yeah, we do. And that comes with us, you know.
Yeah, but we don't have. There's no one who's going to call me home.
No.
It feels. I know that down in Nelson, where I have lots of relatives, if anywhere in the country is a place that I might feel called to, would be there.
Yeah.
But in that sense.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that's just not a thing.
And yet we get called onto the marae. Isn't that wonderful? As a part of whānau, whether they know you or not. And I think that is what, everyone needs to experience that. It's a wonderful feeling. May we never, never lose that sense of whānau, even if we don't know each other. And I think the marae provides that for us, and the one who calls you on to the marae and the whole kaupapa of the respect and honour that's given there. May we never lose it in Aotearoa. Mm.
So we're talking about Mason Jury's Māori health model, Te Whare Tapawhā. Did I say that right?
Yep, Te Whare Tapawhā.
So we've got a few minutes and you want to do a bit at the end. So Taha Wairua, that's the last wall.
Yep.
of Te Whare, and this explores your relationship with the environment, people, and heritage in the past, present, and future, says this little blurb here.
So this one, I think, when I've worked with clients around the Te Whare Tapawhā model, this is the wall that a lot of people don't know about. It's not something we've experienced or give a lot of credit to. So our wairua is our spirit.
Yeah, I didn't finish reading that, so there's more to it, because I made it sound like connection to the environment.
So wairua is our spiritual well-being. So this is checking in with that part of us we can't see, Aaron. So this makes it very difficult. This is what I love about Mason Jury's model, is that he has put a whole wall in there for our spiritual well-being. It's that important. And, you know, what does it mean? Well, you're going to have to figure that one out for yourself, because it's going to mean different things to different people. What is your spiritual well-being? So for me, that's my Christianity. It's my faith. And I've found my home there, and I'm very comfortable. For some people, it's different things. And a connection to your spiritual well-being is so important. So let's just look at those four walls, because where's our time? So I've got about 8 minutes to try and describe this.
Well, there's one thing I wanted to add to that. For people who are exclusively secular, you still find yourself using words like spirit. There's still, to describe the full capacity of the human experience, you have to use words like spirit and things like that. And you just say someone, you might just say someone's really spirited.
An example. Like, some people feel a spiritual experience being out by the ocean. Some people feel a spiritual experience being in the bush on their own, like just that peace and that calm and that the smells, right? So if you don't know what your spiritual well-being is, find something that first connects you to that peace that you aren't feeling in your everyday life.
Yeah, it might be music for a lot of people. I think it's music. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the easiest thing anyway.
Or stillness and nothing.
Yeah.
Just tuning in.
Surfing, I think, for a lot of people in town.
Yes, surfing. So that experience, first you've got to connect into what that is for you. What does it mean to my wairua?
Yeah.
How am I even connected? So with the four walls, if you have walls that are compromised, if you don't even know about your wairua, that's a whole wall in your whare that isn't working. So if you think of a house, how compromised is your whole house? Because one wall isn't even functioning.
It's going to be a problem.
Yeah. So for me, this one is a big one. And like, again, that's why I love Mason Jury's work, because he has included something in here that we often don't as human beings, and that is we have a spiritual being. And I really encourage people to find out what that is. Because it's part of our four walls. And with with the four walls of the Te Whare Tapawhā model, what I did as a counsellor is I went in and I put a scaling question over those walls. And a scaling question is just from 1 to 10, how well do you think you're doing in this? So 10 meaning amazing.
Fantastic, perfect.
And 1 being, not good at all. Yeah, really down there. So if you were to go through and scale these walls, your whenua, your land and roots, where you come from, if you scale from 1 to 10, how much do you think you know about that? Do you think you know a lot about that? So you might sit at a 7 or an 8. Or do you think you know very little about that? And you might sit at a 3.
Yeah, and don't forget that the blurb here is talking about spaces where you feel comfortable. So that might be around friends, with family, sports team even, or your work.
Yes.
Yeah, that might provide your base.
Yes. And so if you were to go through and scale each one of these walls for yourself, do a personal, write it out personally for yourself. You can look up the Te Whare Tapawhā model on Google. You can see all the words there. Just go through and put a number on each one of those walls, and you will instantly see what's your strong wall and where your weak walls are.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting at if you're looking at your mental health, your hinaro, and you were sitting at a maybe a 5, the question would be, what would take me to a 6. So not what would take me to a 10, because that's going to be overwhelming. You're not going to be able to do that. So just what's the next step to make that a bit more healthier? So maybe I need to check in and challenge some of that negative thinking. Maybe I need to be kinder and gentle to myself. Maybe I need to nourish myself with some good language, you know, try that for a bit and see if that doesn't strengthen that wall up.
I guess they're interconnected too, because if one wall is low, then the other walls can hold it up. Literally does happen in buildings. So if your whānau is fantastic, that will help your mental health, your mind
and
health.
And so we might not see how compromised our walls are until something really happens in our life, and then the whole house is compromised. And that's a little bit too late, Aaron. We want to check in with walls.
Right.
So that other walls aren't having to hold the, you know, the weaker walls just to keep you functioning. That's why I love this model so much, because it gives us so much insight into us personally, corporately as well, but personally this model really is a Aotearoa model for us to work with in our mind health.
So you're good? You're happy?
I'm pretty happy with that. All I can do is encourage. Put the scaling question over it. If your wall is very weak, then attend to the weak wall. Don't worry about strengthening your stronger wall. Even if your strongest wall is at a 6 and your weak ones are at a 2, that's okay. Be okay with the 6 and know that that's got some strength there. But right now you need to be focusing on the ones that are weaker, so that you can get your whole whare to be a bit more stronger and be able to deal with what's happening in life. So, I can do is encourage you. Look up the Te Whare Tapawhā model. Have a look at each one of those walls. Go write down your own program of what this is, like what it means to be physical, spiritual, mental and emotional, family and social, land and roots. If you did your own report on this, you would instantly see what needs to change and what you can do to help yourself.
There's an email that came through. I wasn't sure if I needed to read something out, but I don't. Sorry, this is really... I didn't bring my mouse with me today, so I had to lean across Marie while she was wrapping up, and probably Marie's going, what is he doing now?
I don't know.
Ruining the end of the show, that's what
just
I was doing.
Where am I going to pull that out of here? Okay.
Which wall have I broken by doing?
None of them.
Yeah, we're a little more resilient than that here in the studio.
I'm far more resilient than that. Yeah. And you do want your whare to stand against the hard knocks that come along in life. So,
that's a point. That's a point too. Like some walls that are a little compromised are fine a lot of the time, but when a hard knock comes, that's when it gets tested.
It does indeed.
Yeah.
That's my bit of advice for Mind Health Week this month.
All right, and Marie will be back on the radio midday Friday.
I will be.
Any plans yet?
I have no plans.
No plans yet. But Marie will be here.
I will be.
At the very least, playing some music that you
yes,
like.
Yes, so, I will
yeah,
be.
Yeah. All right, Marie, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.